Where there were once many varieties of apples from which to taste, we now find only a few varieties, like the red and golden delicious, at the grocery store. This leads us to ask, is variety no longer the spice of life?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 744th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends up there in old Quebec City who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James back at the Broadcast Central. Nikki, hello there.
Good morning.
Folks, there were once over 7,500 varieties of apples from which to select. We now find only a few at the grocery store. There are reasons for varieties disappearing from our tables and from our lives. Consider taste, for one example. Now, most of us like our apples to be sweet, or at least a lot of us do. While there are many varieties of apples that develop high sugar content when left to mature on the tree, only a relative few, like the red and golden delicious, develop a high sugar content before they are fully mature. These early sweets may thus be harvested while still firm, then shipped, stored, sold, and displayed months later in a store thousands of miles away. As for those varieties that cannot be picked until fully ripe and thus cannot be shipped thousands of miles to a distant marketplace, well, it's survival of the fittest time. When it gets right down to it, the needs of the mass market wreak havoc on the notion that variety is the spice of life. Some say, too bad. Take that red delicious and be happy to have it, because it's all you're going to get. Others, however, hunger for variety, as variety gives them more points of contact with life and thus leads them away from oppression of uniformity and monotony. Or do they hunt for variety? Why, at the farmer's market, of course, which is exactly why we are broadcasting live from the Monterey Bay Certified Farmer's Market in Aptos, California, voted number one, the best farmer's market in California by the American Land Trust and my home farmer's market. So happy to be here today. We have with us Jerry Previdelli from Previdelli Farms in Watsonville, California. Welcome to the Food Chain, Jerry.
Thank you. Good to be here.
good to have you here. So it's easy to find variety here at the farmer's market and at Previdelli Farms. But why? Why is it easy to find variety here and not elsewhere?
A lot of apples are not perfect. They're more, have a little characteristics to them, a little more, little color to them that you wouldn't see as a perfect shape, perfect size, perfect.
So when we go to the grocery store, what we find are these wonderful displays of perfect apples.
Correct.
They all look perfect.
Correct.
Yours don't look perfect.
Not necessarily. They are perfect in the sense of the kind of color like a winter banana has, where it's got some reds in it, some yellows into it. It's a nice color, nice shape, but it doesn't last long on the shelves. It's a little more tender.
It's beautiful. You know what? It's an apple with character.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
So in the mass market, though, it would not survive.
Correct. It bruises so...
I think we're still there. Go ahead.
Okay. It bruises so easily that when some kind of touches it really rough, it's going to leave a fingerprint into it, where something like that's been bred out, like a Red Delicious or a Granny, won't have that easy texture to break, bruise, or look bad.
Yeah, and you don't put wax or polish on your apples either, do you?
Correct. Everything what you see is going to have its own natural wax, own natural color to it. We do wash them, of course, but we don't put any polish on it. So the color you see on the apples, some apples don't produce a dark color like the pippin. It's kind of more of a dull green. The bellflowers have like a light lime green color to it.
So the Prevadelli Farms, your family's been in farming for 50 years?
Yeah, we've been farming in Wattsville since 1945. We farmed in Soquel and Capitola prior to that.
So you're kind of a pioneer in the family about farmers markets then?
In farmers market, yes. We've been doing Cabrillo since I was 16, about 28 years ago.
So when you were 16, you came out here in your little pickup truck with a load of apples and started selling them?
Yeah. I actually been starting selling to my neighbors before that, right when they had people buying rock hounds. They would come to their house, and I'd bring the apples with a little wagon when I was 4 or 5 years old. So we've actually started sooner than that. But farmers market-wise, we've been doing since I was 16.
So you're pretty good at selling. You've been doing that for a long, long time. How many different varieties does Prevadelli Farms grow?
We have 30 right now. We'll actually have 32 because we have two varieties that haven't started producing yet.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And what is your season then for producing?
We start in late July with the Gravensteins, which is another heirloom variety. And we still pick until almost late October, November.
Wow. So that's a huge picking season then for the apples.
Correct. Some apples will even last longer than that. We have Fujis that will go easily till July. We end the market about February, March. We save ourselves a box. So I know, and we put it in our regular refrigerator out in the garage, and I know they last a long time. Certain varieties will last a long time. Certain varieties, like the heirlooms, are a lot shorter season, just because we don't have that many trees of them, or the season themselves, they ripen so much faster.
So, and the truth is that some varieties just last longer, and some varieties are more conducive to storage and being in storage and being handled and being shipped, and thus those are the varieties that really kind of get picked for the mass marketplace.
Correct. That's what you generally see in the store. You see varieties that have been so bred out that you don't get the flavor as you would. A lot of times when we pick apples, a lot of things have been released by the USDA. We generally may have waited a week or two till we get feel like the sugar's been in them. So, because we can't sell an apple to a customer until we know that they're tasting right.
So
we do the old-fashioned taste test, and we do have like a machine that tests the sugar, but we actually just munch on a couple apples to see if they taste right.
Yeah, and you know the taste, right?
Yeah.
And how many tastes are there?
How many? We mean taste.
Yeah. So each one of these apples has a different taste.
Correct. And we all try them. And we all, when like the tiffins come out, we all grab an apple, try to see if it tastes like we would want it to taste like. So we know, because we've been growing them forever, what they should taste like, what the sugar should be like.
Right. And if the taste is not there, you don't pick them until they are. So what happened with the whole notion of variety and mass markets? Like, you compete against the mass market. Well, because you sell your apples here at the farmers market, your apples are all have a lot of character to them. When you look at them, you go, these aren't the kind of apples I see at the store. These are different kind of apples. They have a little rust here. They have a little something there. I don't see any wormholes. How do you keep worms out of your apples anyway?
We have a thing called pheromone strips, which we actually put on the trees. They look like twist tires.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times you don't see a lot of the worms because we actually toss them out and let them go for Martinelli's. We have a little bit more rust because we live in Watsonville. There's a lot more water damage. So you see, like on the pippin apples, they have a little bit of what I call like a russet cap on them. It's because the water sits right on top there, and I think it gives character and more flavor to the apples, truthfully, myself. But that's, we're able to explain to the customer what happens to them, why it is. I mean,
So essentially, you've made this trade here, and not only in varieties, but you're exchanging looks for taste, because when you go to the store and you get these perfect apples, they almost always taste like nothing.
Correct. No.
And when you taste your apples, they always taste like something. Hey, this is real stuff. So how do you go about competing then against that mass market mentality? How do you survive in business?
I want people to taste what the apples are like. So I give a lot of samples. Because some people like tart, some people like sweet, some people like in between. Some people want something for cooking and eating, or some people just want for cooking themselves, you know. It depends on what they're looking for. So I give samples. I cut them up and let the people try them. And I try to tell them, you got to get past what the supermarket like tastes. Because we have the old-fashioned Red Delicious, which are so good. When you get the flavor on them, it is not like the store-bought. You get the flavor.
And you have some right here, and we have to go to break. So why don't you cut one of those Red Delicious ups, and we'll start there.
Okay.
Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking variety, and the variety, which is the spice of life. With us today, Jerry Prevedelli from Prevedelli Farms in Watsonville, California, and she produces heirloom apples that don't look perfect, but taste perfect for the farmer's market. And we will be right back. If you have any questions about apples or apple growing, give us a ring. We have Jerry here to make... Oh, look at this. What is this?
This is a pippin.
A pippin. Oh, good. My favorite. Right back. Do stay tuned. This is The Food Chain.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Hey folks, welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio program, and today we're munching apples at the Aptos Farmers Market, Monterey Bay Certified Farmers Market in Aptos, California, voted number one in the state of California by the American Land Trust. And we're here in search of variety today. You know, when you go to the grocery store looking for variety, you find a couple things. Red and Golden Delicious apples, maybe. Maybe a couple other ones. Maybe some Fuji's thrown in there. But that's about the extent of it. And, you know, there are other tastes in life. And we're discovering some here today. Well, I'm sitting here with Jerry Prevedelli, whose family has been farming for 50 years. And Jerry's been in the business of selling apples at farmers markets directly to people for a long, long time. And she has so many different kinds of varieties. I've sampled three of them during the break. We started with pippin.
Correct. Newtown pippin.
Newtown pippin. That was the apple of George Washington's eye.
Yep, right? Or he liked to call it his dessert apple.
His dessert apple?
Yep. His apple that he ate after his meal.
After his... And what a delicious apple is. Now, the pippin is a tartar apple, right?
It is a little tartar. When you get a little later down on the season, it can get, and if you get a really yellowish one, it's a little more sweet.
Uh-huh.
I always like pair mine with a good cheese or...
Oh, yeah.
Something really strong just to counter it. But it's a great flavor apple. I'm not much of a tart-loving apple, but I actually like that one because it's got just enough tartness. But not enough to be really tart.
Not enough to frighten you away.
No.
Right. And then we tried a Red Delicious apple. Now, this Red Delicious apple does not look like the Red Delicious apple, this great big Red Delicious apples you get at the store. It's a smaller Red Delicious apple. And it has taste to it. So explain that. You know, usually the Red Delicious apples you taste... The apples have been in storage for months, and they just don't have that taste.
Well, this
nor any character, no much of anything about them.
The Red Delicious has been around for quite a number of years. Red Delicious has been really truthfully bred out so it could be put in the store, has a perfectly shaped, red-colored, perfect-shaped apple. But we have, ours are probably the older fashioned type where it has a lot more flavor, character to it.
When you say bred out, what does that mean?
Bred to be, they when they look at the tree and they see that this apple tree, one particular limb has been going red and perfectly shaped, they kind of graft that and make more,
So culturally we select things for certain purposes.
Correct.
And so we've bred that, and we've taken the Red Delicious, which matures relatively early. It produces sugar relatively early and is a good handler. So we've kind of bred that characteristic out to the extent that we now have these big, huge, perfectly shaped Red Delicious apples that you see all waxed up and sitting on the shelves of the grocery store.
Yeah, most Americans are, a lot of Americans will want something that looks pretty. But if you ever go to someplace like the farmer's market and you talk to some of your growers, they can show you what happens to it when it's not looking pretty, why it has more flavor. Apples like Red Delicious in the store have tend to turn a lot of people off to apples because of flavor or because it got mealy or...
Well, they generally taste mealy and they have little flavor. And so when you buy one, you think, what the heck did I buy this for? And it's the poor things have been in storage for a long time, and so you don't know how long they've been in storage. And they look good, but they just lack that taste that I just tasted in this Red Delicious apple, which is smaller, and it looks like it's an apple of character.
Oh yeah, definitely. You're gonna find apples that are not perfectly shaped a lot of times at our stall, because that's the character of the apple. The like the winter banana, you're seeing one here that's kind of more flat shaped than the mm-hmm. one that's taller shaped. That's the character of the apple. Sometimes it's not going to get a big pointed shape like you would characterly see as a Red Delicious.
So they just look different. And that's what we're talking about today, is how do we overcome the notion that the apple is supposed to look perfect rather than taste perfect and have this wonderful character about them that you simply don't get in an apple that's been bred out to only look good and handle well. How do you decide at Prevadelli Farms which apples to grow?
It's kind of a uniform, we kind of research it, see what people are looking for, read upon it. We'll sometimes grow four or five trees to see how they do first, how people react to them, how they grow. If they're very finicky, we might graft over them and do something different, or grow a lot more of them, buy bunches of them at the next time.
Yeah, if they're worthwhile, you'd go for it then.
Correct.
And what does the farmer's market, working here at the farmer's market, what benefit does that give you in doing your market research? I mean, you're right here, you're slicing up apples and saying, here, try this, so you can look at people and see the reaction to these apples physically. You can look in their eyes.
We have a new variety called Snow Sweet, and we're trying to determine right now if we're going to keep it or not. It is, my brother calls it a more sweeter type of Macintosh. It looks like a Macintosh, has the same characteristics, and we bring it out and we sell it, and we give samples out and try to see how the reaction is. And a lot of people liked it, so we might be planting more of it. We have to still discuss it, of course. But we kind of do some research on it to see what we find out on it. Some of it's trial by error. You know, you plant it, and it's...
But that's a long time. How long does it take to get an apple from an idea to the farmer's market?
It's almost probably 5 to 7 years, depending on the variety.
Okay, so when you say you do your research, you really do your research.
Oh yeah,
right?
We have to. You have to do some research. You talk with the people who you buy it from. You talk, look online, see if there's anything, any information on it, what they have. You see, if you see it in the store, you try to buy it, or you see it someplace, you try to buy it, and you know sometimes it's not going to be the true flavor like you would grow it, but you have some impressions of what's going to the characteristics are going to be like of it.
So when you sell an apple at a farmer's market, you really have the opportunity to let the apple vine ripen, right?
Correct. We, like I said, we wait We wait till we feel that they're ripe to eat. We don't wait till someone tells us to do it.
Right.
We wait. You know, we don't go out and just pick them because everybody else is doing it. We pick them because we feel that the ripeness is there.
They're ripe there, so that when your customers actually taste the apple, they know.
Well, we want them to have the enjoyable experience like we do. We enjoy our apples. We're really picky. We want to make sure everybody gets the same pickiness that we have on what we do. And I mean the pickiness in the sense of the flavor and how it looks.
So, you know, in your business, you have to survive like all businesses. And you grow apples and everybody else grows apples. And they grow these huge red delicious and gold delicious and some Fujis. And they do it on a very large scale for a very large marketplace. And you have to compete with that because people have so many dollars to spend on apples. And so which apples are they going to take? Are they going to go for that perfect shape one in the grocery store or the ones that have all of this incredible character and taste at the farmer's market? So you have to compete with them. And that's a pretty intense business skill to be able to compete like that. And I'm wondering about you. What are the things that you do that you can offer are all of these different varieties, whereas at a grocery store, you can't. So how on earth do you I guess we're almost out of time here, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about your heritage variety of apples, because that's one of the things you can offer that a grocery store or a mass market can't offer. So how do you decide what heirlooms you want? And I'd like to take us through some of them. I mean, you grow 30 of them. Let's go through some of them and have a taste and explore and hunt for that character and that taste that we can only find at a farmer's market. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. You're invited to participate. If you have any questions or comments about apples, pick up your phone and join us today at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. Right back with Jerry Prevedelli of Prevedelli Farms and your host, Michael Olson. You stay tuned. Hey, welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about variety. Is variety still the spice of life? You know, the world has 7,500 varieties of apples, and when we go to the grocery store, we only see two or three of them. So where do we go in search of variety to put different tastes and flavors in our lives? Well, one of the places we can always go is a farmer's market, because at the farmer's market, you find people like Jerry Prevedelli of Prevedelli Farms in Watsonville, California, whose family grows how many varieties?
32.
32 different varieties of apples. And, you know, if you were growing for the mass market, you couldn't grow that many different varieties, could you? You couldn't, really.
You couldn't, really, because you really need to market one type to one store, yeah, generally.
So here you have 32 different varieties. All of them are extremely flavorful because they're picked when at the peak of their ripeness. They don't have that brilliant sheen and perfect shape and that the grocery store apples have, but everything else is there. And, you know, when you bite into that perfectly shaped golden delicious or red delicious apple at the supermarket, so often what you get is disappointment. But not with these apples, because they're all picked just at the peak of their time. Hi, sir, I'm on the radio. Thank you. So we're going to talk a little bit about the different kinds of varieties that Jerry and her family grows. And where do we start? I mean, goodness sakes, where would you start? When somebody comes up to you at the farmer's market and says, I'd like to learn about these apples. And where else could they learn? How else could you learn about all of these apples?
I'd come to the farmer's market. A lot of times you're not going to see a lot of these old-fashioned ones because they're not the perfect shape that the store wants. So
Right. Coming
out to the farmer's market, you can talk to us and we can explain the types that we have, what the flavors are good for, if they're good for eating or for more juicing or for cooking. There's apples that do both. Some do just cooking apples. Some people like sweet apples, so you point them in that direction. Some people are willing to experiment and try other ones.
So you can divide the apple world kingdom, in, as far as we consumers are concerned, into cooking apples and eating apples, right?
Yeah, cooking, eating, juicing.
Juicing, okay, there's three categories.
There's probably three categories, but yeah. And then you got to categorize them even just further than that. What kind of juice do you want? A straight flavor juice, or do you want a mixed flavor juice? You know,
Martinelli. So you can do it just like wine.
Correct. You can take different types. Like, we have an early variety of apple called Gramstein, which is great for cooking, eating, and juicing. It's a little sweet tart, more on the tart side, but it's got the old-fashioned flavor to it.
That really biting kind of...
It has a bite to it, but more like a floral flavor to it. You can even smell it right off the apple. It's a nice thing because it can go by itself if you want to make a juice off of it.
Okay.
It makes a great pie. And
let's stick with juicing. What other kinds of juicing apples?
The pippins. Pippins and mutsus are really good for juicing. Mutsus are a golden delicious pippin cross, where the pippin by itself is a little more tart. And then if you're going to do a little juicing, I myself would do a mixture. I never like straight flavors, but I'm maybe in my spice of life. I like to have the different flavors come together. You know, so you get a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of tartness. Involved together.
Sweet and sour.
Yeah.
There you go.
Definitely. But like juicing itself, you're going to get different flavors when you do that. And it's just a really good combination.
Let's go to baking, because I love cooking with apples. I just love it.
I do too. Actually.
And I like it. I like the apple. My baking apples to be real hard and real tart. I love that. Tartness in them.
I actually like mine a little sweeter because I don't like adding a lot of sugar to mine. So I tend to go with the mutsus and jonagolds and throw some...
Now, what's a mutsu? Is a cross between a
Golden Delicious
and a pippin.
Where the jonagold is Jonathan Golden Delicious cross.
And the Jonathan's another one of these old varieties.
Old variety, yeah. We no longer carry it. We had some gophers eat it, so... It's always one of the things we should probably plant a couple more trees. So we have a lot of people asking for it, but you got to have to kind of stop sometimes along the way to figure out what you need to plant. My brother wants to plant everything, and then you got to deal with every different type of, because they bloom at different times of the year.
Sure. And then so are the good bakers.
Both are very good bakers, and actually one of the other ones that we have here, the pippins, is really good for baking, too.
Pippins are good ones, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on what you want to do, truthfully. That's why I always ask, too, because pippins can make a nice pie by itself, but sometimes if you want a baked apple, I go with the mutsus, just because of the size, you get the sweetness and the tartness with it.
So there you are. Okay, and then any other good bakers?
Oh, definitely. Gravensteins are really good, too. If you want to make, like, I do a lot of crisps because I like something fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll throw Gravensteins if we have them. To make applesauce, I do a lot of Gravensteins or mutsus because I don't add any sugar. Throw a little bit of vanilla, water, and cinnamon to it, and then I just have a great applesauce with no added nutrients or nitrates or anything
by
itself. But sometimes you just want to eat an apple, too. I like to eat apples different types. You know, I don't go one variety. I switch up. I go sometimes when I'm having cheese, I'll take some pippins and across with it, or we have a new variety called Sundowners, which are really, really tart. And I'm not a tart fan.
Sundowner.
It's more tart than the Granny Smith.
Wow.
And it's
that is tart.
That is a tart apple. But it's red, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of red and green. It doesn't look like a granny or be a tart apple. Most people associate green being tart.
Tart, right.
And it isn't. It's red. So when we're at the market, we explain that. You know, you can't look at the character, what it looks like, to associate it being one type of apple. You know, it can't always be red apples being sweet.
Right.
Sometimes red apples are tart. So.
And other favorites?
Let's go through some of the lists here. You have these incredible lists let's talk about the Bellflower, which I just tasted. Now, this is a green apple that was very sweet.
Yeah.
It's just like you said.
It's going to have a little bit of sweetness to it. It's a very short season for us on those, but it's actually originated way back.
Traced back to the 1700s.
Yeah. Actually, we like to do on our signs at the markets, we put little information on it, little information on what happened to it or what's crossed between, if it has like little tricks to it, like the Bellflower is called Bellflower. I'm not pronouncing.
Bellflower.
My French is not good, but it's an old French variety that actually came through with the pioneers. It grew old with the pioneers, so we always like putting these little information on our sell charts, our selling charts on them about what.
Because it always adds to the taste and the experience.
Correct. You want to have the experience of what information, what you're tasting,
Well, I hear our theme music. That must mean it's time for us to do something, like take a break. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Jerry Prebidelli. Prebidelli Farms. We're talking about apples, old-fashioned apples, the kind of apples you can only find at a farmer's market. Do stay tuned. We will be right back with more apples. Hey, welcome back. You know, I have a tree in my front yard, an apple tree, and it's a dwarf apple, and it has seven different varieties of apples.
That's good.
Grafted to it. And it's just getting into, it's our first year of having apples. So the other morning, my wife Marlene took a bunch of these apples that we have. I don't even know what the heck they are, but I probably could do better now. And she made a fruit salad. And there were a bunch of different apples in the salad, you know. So it was wonderful. It was like all of these different, you know, tastes from one tree. And it's just extraordinary. And we just had somebody come by the booth here on the break, and a good friend. And she said, I'm not going to touch those Red Delicious. I said, you have to try one. And she said, well, it's different. It is different. How can your Red Delicious, Jerry Prebidelli, be different than that Red Delicious at the grocery store?
Like I said, we wait to have them picked. They've been probably released probably a week or two at least. And
when you say released?
The USDA comes around. Our local USDA office and our county office actually puts a release date on when they feel that they have the right enough sugar content in the apple. And there's a few of them that they really monitor. Red Delicious is one of them. Pippins is another. And I'm probably missing a few other ones. But those are two of them that you'll see in the newspaper every so often say, Red Delicious are released. And you will get people for like a week or two saying, when are your Red Delicious coming? Well, we say, we wait until we can eat them.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Because they may have the sugar, but if they don't have the flavor.
Right. And you know, there's more to it.
Yeah. And that's what happens at times at the store is they pick when the county says that they're released. So they don't have the sugar or the flavor there. And they stick them in the store, and then the people see that, they taste that, and they don't get the flavor.
And when there's not the flavor there, it's like the gal that came by said, I wouldn't touch those with a 10-foot pole. And yet those Red Delicious were actually quite delicious. And there you are. So how can we keep these older varieties in our lives? How can we keep from losing them to the uniformity of that mass market, Jerry?
One of the things
I mean, that's your jihad, right?
Definitely. One of the things is always try to get past what they look like. If we can get past that, you can have such flavor with your nose, your mouth taste, that if you get past it, you can eat the apple, come to the local market, support your local farmers that grow this, and then they'll grow more of it for everybody else to enjoy.
Do you think that that's possible in a mass market? I mean, if I were to see your apples in a mass market, I would worry because they don't look perfect. They taste perfect, but they don't have that look. So if I go into a now here at the farmer's market, I can look you in the eye, and we can have a conversation, and I can taste your apples. And it's easy to see beyond the little water blemish of the apple. But if you're at in a mass market, is it possible to do that? Or are you stuck looking for that perfect appearance and trading that appearance for the taste and the character and the...
I think you are. I think in some respect you might be, because the fact that in the mass market they want something that perfectly shaped.
They have to have it. You almost have to have it, right?
You have to have it in some respect. They want something that's going to stay there for a long time.
And look good and perfect.
Where someone like us can explain what the blemishes are.
Not only explain it, but...
Give samples.
Sell it.
Yeah.
You know, taste this. And
taste it, but you're gonna have that. You can't have somebody like us out there explaining that. What happened to it? Why it's such a short life on it? And a lot of stores don't want to handle the different types because then they have to explore that.
Right.
So
in that mass market, you're pretty much stuck with having apples that look perfect, or you're in trouble.
Correct.
So there it is.
I believe, for variety at the mass market, it is going to be a difficult find. The stores are looking for something that turns over faster, mm-hmm. Doesn't have a lot of problems to deal with. They don't have people to educate what the differences are on the variety, the different flavors. Most people associate green being tart, red being sweet, yellow maybe being between there.
So they reduce the selections to the very elemental, where they have one tart, one sweet, and they're all looking perfect.
Correct. Unless you get someone to mass market what the name is on and what the tastes are going to be like.
Kind of like Fuji's?
And Honeycrisp. Honeycrisp becoming like the Fuji's are.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
What's a Honeycrisp?
Honeycrisp is one of the new varieties that University of Michigan developed. It's kind of a sweet big apple. It's good flavor, don't get me wrong, but, you know, when you grow a lot of other varieties, sometimes I prefer the Johnables or Mutsus over them. They got a flavor, but everybody knows the name. Everybody goes to the store and they can identify what it is because they've been identified mass marketing.
Sure. So then, to find that character, we're going to have to go someplace else. And that place is right here at the Farmer's Market. And you reach your hand into this basket that's right in front of me and take a big taste of the apple. So we'll do that when we come back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Jerry Prebadelli on this beautiful day here in the California Central Coast. And we're talking about how to keep variety in our lives. With apples, of course, because that's what we have in hand right now. About to take a bite of it. You know, in life in general, do we go for that mass market uniformity, or do we look for some adventure in our tastes and in our lives? Right back. Do stay tuned. Welcome back, folks. Michael Olson here with Jerry Prebadelli. We're talking about variety. Is variety still spice of life? Jerry Prebadelli, when people go up to your apple booth here at the farmer's market and say, let me taste that Fuji.
I let them taste it, but I always try to veer them on to different ones because we have so many different types, different flavors, that I think there's other ones that they should try, you know, change up a little bit. Try something new. Try something that you never have had before, even if it's once in your life. You know, go try something tart. Tart, there's the Johnnigle to have that sweet tart flavor, where the pippins have a little tang to it, but a little, like, an essence of a good flavored old-fashioned variety apple. I always try to veer them as much as I can, even if they're hardcore Fuji lover fans. They won't break. I always still try to go with it.
Why are we so afraid to experiment? I mean, is it something about the human character that we're just afraid to taste something new?
Some of it, I think, is that. Some of it, I think, is being...
I mean, you've been doing this since you were 16. You've been feeding people apples, different apples, and say, here, try this. When you look into their eyes and you see that kind of fear, I don't want to try it because I'm a Fuji person. That's all I ever eat.
I laugh a lot because it's good things and bad things about it. A lot of people don't like to try things new because they've gotten burnt at the store trying something that was mealy or soft or non-flavored. Some of our customers are just geared toward Fuji's, and you can't break them of it. They want a certain flavor. They don't want to change anything, and I think that's the way they do their lives that way. But sometimes, myself, I'm always variety. In the morning, I could eat a couple Red Delicious. In the afternoon, I'll eat a couple Gala. I'm always changing. I never want to have something always the same thing. It gives me my palate in check to see what everything's tasting like too, you know, so I can explain something to the customer. Hey, this is really good right now. You should try it. And some customers will veer. I had a customer came back and who'd been buying Fuji's with us for 2-3 weeks early, and she went and tried the Gala, and she goes, oh my God, these are even better. And our Fuji's are wonderful, but it's nice to try something new that has just a different flavor, different palates to try out. It's an excitement. It just changes up things every once in a while.
And so there you go, folks. You know, when you go to that great supermarket of life and you see those three different apples there and they all look perfect, and you buy one because it looks perfect and you take a big bite out of it and it's mush, and you think, what a great disappointment. And I guess we're here to tell you that there's so much more to life than that mass market uniformity, and you can find it at your farmer's market and your local farmers. So treat yourself to some adventure and go out and get some food with its farmer's face on it and really live. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been The Food Chain with Michael Olson and Jerry Prevedelli from Prevedelli Farms in Watsonville, California. And
thank you.
Thank you all.
Been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.